It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, hello, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton. And just yesterday, I returned from 3 weeks up in northern Colorado. Now, my partner up there, Larry Large, and I, Larry's been a guest many, many times, but we've been up there for 3 weeks guiding elk and bear hunters. And all of you that's been keeping up with KETR, the news here, you know that there was some serious flooding up actually north of Denver and other areas up there. But we were camped out northwest of Steamboat Springs, about 12 miles, something like that, not too far from the Wyoming border, and we had some challenges. Now, I got Larry with me, Larry Large, and a lot of you know Larry. He's been guiding down at Lake Fork for years. Larry, are you recouping from all the rigors of guiding elk and bear hunters, buddy?
I'm trying to. I'll tell you, it's nice to be down here in Texas where there's no mud.
Yes, you and I persevered. We had three groups of hunters. I think we had a total of 17 hunters, 15 elk hunters, and a couple of guys that came up after bear. Larry, this year was far different up there in the mountains than any that I've experienced up there in the years we've been guiding. The big challenge was the slick roads due to the rain, right?
Right. They said that it was 100 to 1,000 year flood this year. I mean, they got more rain in a week than they usually get in a year. And as you know, your mama used to tell you, when it's raining, get in out of the rain. And that's what those elk did. It was not only hard to get to them because of the slick, steep roads, but the elk didn't want to move. I mean, it poured.
And, you know, Larry, I bet there are folks listening to our show. We all try to tell it like it is and put our listeners in the driver's seat like they were up there with us. But the truth of the matter is, you know, we have a tent camp. You and I and our camp manager and cook, we set up tents and the guys stay in a cabin. Tents can be pretty comfortable to stay in. They usually are. And I always slept well because I was so tired. I know you did, too. But the challenge up there, a guy comes up to hunt elk. He's got a five-day hunt, and he wants to hunt elk, by golly, you know. So rain or shine, unless there was a couple of times when there was just a torrential downpour where it made no sense to head out. But if a little sprinkle or something, we spent a lot of time, I did, huddled under a poncho back trying to bugle in and cow call those elk, and I know you did too, Larry.
Thank God for those big spruce trees, and they make good rain shelters. But it really was miserable. The elk didn't want to move. It was tough conditions on the hunters. Everybody was tired. This is probably the toughest hunting season I've had in Colorado in 15 years. It just wore you down both mentally, physically. The good thing about it is, now, it was not cold. Had it been down around that 35, 40 degree weather, it would have been really miserable.
It would have, Larry. That we were fortunate on that. But even the ranch we hunt, folks, up there, it's near Sleeping. It's actually the ranch, part of the ranch is Sleeping Giant Mountain, which is the official name is Elk Mountain, northwest of Steamboat Springs. So thank goodness that, you know, there was so much territory up there, Larry. It wasn't a bust. We had we had one nice 5x5 bull taken, and I think four maybe missed. Four, somewhere around four of them. That happens, and it's strictly archery hunting. We're not knocking any of our hunters. I've missed animals myself, you know. But I think about four of them had opportunities at bulls that just didn't connect, right?
Yes, they sure did, Luke. And one of them, opening morning, you know, turned down a legal bull and four or five cows. So it wasn't like there wasn't any opportunities had. It was just you had to be out there in some miserable conditions to get those opportunities.
Yes, sir, and just keep a positive attitude and try to keep everybody else positive. It's one thing to, I've said this a million times, it's one thing to sit in an office or a warm house, a nice, snug, dry house, and think, man, I'd like to be up in those mountains. And I do. I'll never, as long as my health permits, I'll be there. But it's far different thinking about it than about 3 weeks after you've been doing it, isn't it, Larry?
Well, I'll tell you, it can wear on you. Now, it makes that office sound pretty good after about 3 weeks, you know, for a couple of days, and then you're ready to go back.
You're ready to go back. Well, I guess that's what makes it so much fun and challenging. The elk hunting, there was one day when you bugled in that good 5x5 bull. I wasn't too far from you, but that our hunter actually harvested there. There was one day that I can say they were actually responding. Most of the time when we would bugle, I would hear a bull back, or maybe several bulls, just like turkey hunting when they sound off. You'd hear them. All you would benefit from is knowing where they were, because they would not close. They wouldn't come up, would they?
You know, that's really unusual, Luke. I've bugled elk for 30 years, and I've never had a problem when you get 30, 40 bulls down there bugling that you can't call satellite bulls in. But this year, for some reason, they just would not respond. They would come close, but they'd hang up at 70, 80 yards, and that's it. They'd just turn around and walk right back to the herd.
That's true. And that one that Ray Wiesner shot, the 5x5, he actually did like a bull elk is a mature bull supposed to do. I mean, he came on in, and the range was pretty close when Ray actually took him, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. You know, it came from about 300-400 yards and came right straight to us. I mean, just like it was on a string, like, you know, they're supposed to do. But it was the only one that actually committed like a bull should commit.
And the bear hunting, we usually concentrate on strictly elk, folks. But this year we had a couple of guys come up for bear. The bear numbers this year in the area we hunted was nowhere near what we had last year. Now, maybe they were there, but they weren't foraging like last year. A lot of berries this year, Larry. And one guy took a nice big old mature sow, you know, and the other guy had some opportunities, but he just didn't see a bear that he wanted. So actually, although the elk numbers were strong like always, they weren't responding like they normally do. The bear numbers were, it appeared to me, to be down from the previous year, but the percentage of chances, shot opportunities for bear was high. And in Colorado, you know, you cannot bait bears. You have to know, we were hunting around water holes, which later everything was a water hole before the hunt was over. But at first, I think that was a key, Larry, the water.
Yeah. It really was, and that's a great place to set up. You know, in September, it's always warm. Those bears come down, they swim around that water, they cool down. They have to forage really heavy. Now, last year, we had a tremendous amount of bears because there was not any groceries. They were in a drought. This year, we had tremendous amount of rain. And there was berries, there was grass, there's roots, I mean, the bear did not have to forage 24 hours a day to fill their bellies. And I think that was the difference. There's still, I talked to the landowner, and Fish and Game did a study up there this year, and they figured on 6,000 acres there was over 40 bear.
Wow, now that's from what I could tell, Larry, a lot of the bear didn't have to move a great distance, you know. Those hillsides were covered with all kind of berries. I mean, most every one of them. So they probably just, you know, maybe stayed within 1 acre and ate all they wanted. You know?
That exactly. And the mule deer were the same way. You know, every mule deer we seen up there was eating those berries off of those mountain alders. And so nothing really had to scrounge like in previous years.
Exactly. Well, you know, I kind of paint the picture for all of our listeners that's never been up on a high country hunt. We were camped at about, give or take 500 feet, 6,500 feet elevation, and we'd go on up to, I use the altimeter up there at one place, it's about 8,000, but you could go on up to the top of the mountain and probably gain another, I don't know, 500-800 foot, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
easy.
You sure could. Most of our hunts take place between 6,800 and 8,200.
That's exactly right. And we get up early, and, you know, we access there's good roads on this ranch, and we go up on actually Intimidator. They're electric. They're converted they started life as an easy-go golf cart, you know, Larry, but they didn't end up that way. Our friend Ken Blackstock up in Plano with Plano Golf Carts, he works his magic on those things, and they access the highest elevations that you want to go to quietly. The animals never hear you coming, and I think that's a key for hunting several weeks at a time, more than 1 week, that you don't disturb the animals like you would with a gasoline engine or a truck or whatever, Larry.
Yeah, it's true. And like you said, that buggy, you know, we had 3 to 4 people on it every day. And there is some steep mountains there that we have to access, but we do it by that buggy. We don't have to physically walk them, other than when it poured down rain, you know, the traction was a little limited. But that buggy will take you anywhere that you want to go, anywhere that you need to go, put it that way.
That's true. And, you know, the cap of the day, the highlight of the day that I think all of us look forward to, Billy Kilpatrick, a lot of people in Northeast Texas know Billy. He's guided for crappie out at Lavon for 20 years. But Billy is our, I would say, just cook, but he's far, far more than just a cook. He's a camp manager, and he plans the meals and makes sure there's gasoline ready for the generators. His task are many, but everybody gets excited wondering what's the dinner meal. And he turned out some really good meals, didn't he, Larry?
It was great. The food was fabulous. We had some other hunters, you know, that chipped in with stuff, jalapenos and stuff like that. But Billy, he went way above and beyond this year. I mean, splitting firewood, having fires going morning and night in the rain so we could dry our clothes, and always had coffee on. And he really did just a fantastic job. I don't think there's any camp in the world that has a cook or a manager that could have done a better job.
I agree with you, Larry. The thing is, he always does an excellent job, but it's a lot of, you know, his work, a camp manager, cook, the difficulty is compounded when you start talking about rain and slick, and we got to get up in the mountains and hunt in that kind of condition. But he was running a wet camp this year. Well, Larry, I tell you what, buddy, I like to let all of our listeners know, if they want to see some pictures of this hunt and learn more about what it's like to be up there in Colorado, bowhuntcoloradoelk.net. bowhuntcoloradoelk.net. That website show you can see pictures of Billy doing the cooking, little videos on it. And, you know, every Texan at some point in time, I know every hunter wants to get up in the mountains, and that's a good opportunity. Next September, I'm looking forward to us getting together and doing it all again, Larry.
Well, I am too. I'd like to go back in about 2 weeks after I rest up. Maybe it won't be raining quite so much.
Larry, what's a good number for people? You live down at Mustang Resort right there at Lake Fork. How could they call you and talk more about it?
The best way to do it is call me on my cell at 970-819-3464. And that's any time, day or night. It's always right there by me.
Well, Larry, thanks for spending some time with us on the air today. I appreciate you. Appreciate all the efforts that you did to make this a fun hunt. They were many, I'll guarantee you. And we'll get you back again pretty soon. How about it?
I appreciate it, Luke.
Folks, that wraps up our show today. I want you to know how much I appreciate you being with us each week. I want to remind you that today's show is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. The website for the Dallas Safari Club is biggame.org. Also made possible by the American Hunting Lease Association. You can go online to ahuntinglease.org and learn all about the American Hunting Lease Association. These folks offer liability insurance for your hunting lease. Also made possible by Sniper Hog Lights. You can go online to sniperhawglights.com. Made possible by Texas Motor Cars in Addison, Texas, a new way to buy cars. You can go online to texasmotorcars.com, and also made possible by Hoff Power Polaris down in Goldwaith, Texas. The website down there is hpolaris.com. And remember, folks, you can always tune in to catfishradio.com, and there you can listen to the archive of the hour-long show that we do each week. This is with Larry Wysoon and Bill Dance. Tune in right here next week. We're going to have some more fun.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.